Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, it's Nick Newmont. This is Mainstream Metaphysics, and this is Tuesday, November 19th. Where is the time going? Where is the year going? Oh, it's been quite a year, and interesting things going on in the news, as always. So, and this is a... We're still the tail end of Mercury retrograde, and remember that even when Mercury turns direct, which is technically tomorrow, you still have to be wise about the choices that you make in Mercury retrograde. And even though, and clients have said this to me, even though their phone is broken or things aren't working right, that doesn't mean that you run back out and start buying electronics all over again. You know, one of the things that comes up about Mercury retrograde is that, you know, well, can I sign a document in Mercury retrograde? And as long as the negotiations have taken place, you know, prior to going into Mercury retrograde, the act of putting pen to paper is simply just finishing the product. So, if you have something that you've been working on, and you feel that the I's have dotted and the T's have been crossed, then go ahead and do it. As long as the agreement was made and everything looks good. But, you know, when Mercury is retrograde in Scorpio, you know, there's sort of a communication can be tough. Scorpio is brutally honest, and, sometimes you just have to be careful with a certain amount of what comes back on you if you're too brutal when Mercury is retrograde in Scorpio. If you haven't tuned in before, I am Nick Newmont. And this show is Mainstream Metaphysics, where the aim of this show is to bring advanced topics in the spiritual and metaphysical world to you in a way that's understandable. I am a psychic astrologer. I do very high-end healing work that's called sentient healing. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I am a paranormal investigator. I cleanse and bless homes. So do a lot of different things, and love what I do. I'm the co-owner of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agoura Hills, California, along with my wife, Audrey, who will at some point be on this show. and you're going to meet some of my guests that are facilitators there soon. And we live in an interesting time right now where doing alternative things is becoming mainstream, hence mainstream metaphysics. And people are more interested in doing different things as opposed to traditional Western medicine or traditional therapy. And all the different modalities we offer at the Newmont Center are opportunities to look at things in a different way. We just have to be very, very wise to when people want to seek out alternative methods. Are they right for that person? And also, and this is to everyone, you know, even where metaphysics is involved, you know, people still have to do the work. There still has to be a certain amount of participation, you know, in the work, or it becomes completely prescriptive therapy, and that's not what we want people doing. We want people to take part in the work and, you know, heal themselves. Coming up at the end of the month, there's a workshop that I'm teaching at the center called Intentional Healing, and it's followed up with making these crystalline devices, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, which will actually lead into our guest. So anyway, if you're interested in what we do at the Newmont Center, you can call us at 818-865-8770. And also I will give out the phone numbers of the other facilitators. You can also reach me at nnewmont, N-N-E-W-M-O-N-T, at gmail.com. And nicknewmont.com is the website. So one of the topics I wanted to touch on tonight has a lot to do with the gut. And when I work on people metaphysically, gut health does come into play, although I don't work in the physical body. The energy work that I do is in the aura, especially the third chakra. Well, when we talk about the chakras, the energy centers, if you could see them, they are conical-shaped devices, and the word chakra in Sanskrit means wheel, and so the wheel floats, you know, at the top of this cone, and the cone isn't solid like a drinking cup. It's porous. It's somewhat like a grid that traps the impurities or the ectoplasms, you know, that we don't want, that would, you know, could attack the chakra, and that grid is supposed to absorb as much as it can, but it does erode over its time. Now, the third chakra, the one that sits at the solar plexus, of course, is the, you know, the conscious mind. It's how we think. And it's logic, reasoning, your decisions, your willpower. It's your vitality. Like when you enter a room, do you make an impact or do you seem weak? And of course, the third chakra is all the digestive system organs. The stomach, of course, the esophagus. Then it's the liver, the gallbladder. The main gland for the third chakra is the pancreas, and the spleen is part of that too, colon and intestines. Now, we know that today that the stomach is known as the second brain, the gut. And gut health is so important because instead of trying to fix problems or medicating ourselves, we know all full well that what we put into our bodies in terms of food has a huge bearing on who we are and what we do, our mentality, depression, all of this comes into play, especially now that we know that the stomach is the second brain. So when the third chakra especially has a lot of negative thoughts in it, and by the way, I refer to the third chakra as the garbage can chakra because that's the one where people have a tendency to reach in and influence and manipulate a bit, and a lot of other facilitators in the healing realm, whether doctors, therapists. I had another client that's in the beauty industry come in, and because people are telling us their problems all the time, the third chakra has a tendency to get blocked very easily. So, you know, and you don't always have to go to a healing facilitator to get the chakras clear. You can clear your own mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, check your thoughts. What are your thoughts? If you have a lot of negative thoughts and you're depressed and you're very fearful, then that is going to hit the third chakra very hard. And then it will have to be cleared out. If you have a lot of positive thoughts and you have clarity on who you are and you are exercising a certain amount of maintenance of your health and your vitality, then the third chakra is going to be in pretty good shape. And again, we don't want to go to facilitators all the time. I'd love to see you. I'd love to take care of you. I'm not going to turn you away. But learn to take care of yourself. Now, as I bring in my guest, this gentleman is going to lend a lot of good insights into gut health. This gentleman, Dr. Michael McGuire, is a longtime friend of mine. He is one of the facilitators at the Newmont Center for Balanced Living, and he's at another location too. Michael, I've known you since 1995, which is scary, considering how old our kids are now, and we have a few more wrinkles here and there. And I have to tell you, I'm so thrilled that going back, and I forget how long the time is, that, well, here's where time and reality is very scary. So last year, at this time, the fires broke out in Malibu. Michael's main office has been in Malibu, but there were disruptions, and my heart goes out to any of you who are displaced or lost anything or anyone or pets. And we had an extra space, and we brought Michael on board, and, you know, he started doing some time at our space, and part of a Tuesday, then it became all Tuesdays, and now he's there part Thursdays, and we'll see, you know, how much more time Michael spends with us. Anyway, Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me to join you tonight, Nick. Yep. It's really a pleasure, as always, and one of my favorite topics as well, you know, gut health.
Gut health.
So, you know, there's the term gut microbiome that's become quite popular lately. There's a lot of research going on and has been for a number of years about the gut microbiome. And in Chinese medicine, which is my background, there's a term called spleen qi. And just about every adult could use some additional support and balance in that area. And what spleen qi really means is, you know, in many ways, it's mostly the third chakra. So it has to do with the gut, as you mentioned, spleen and stomach, pancreas, all of that, and how they work together to help us, you know, when we sit down and enjoy a good meal and hopefully we're relaxed enough to be able to really absorb the nutrients that we need from that food and then, you know, be able to build up our body, build up our energy, and of course, you know, then what we can't use, is eliminated. Also in the third chakra is the liver, and when I check patients, just like I did today, virtually everybody's liver could use some support and benefit. And by the way, the approach in Chinese medicine when I'm assessing these different organs is different than if you see most MDs. You know, they do your annual blood test, for instance, and check your liver enzymes and so forth. You know, in most cases, the liver is going to be fine as far as the enzymes go. But when I check the pulses and check certain points on the body that are sensitive and reactive, I can tell the liver needs because liver qi tends to congest and stagnate. We need to get that moving again, mm-hmm. And that actually influences digestion as well. So.
Michael, you know, yep. I've been thinking back while you're speaking that, you know, when I moved to California in 1985, you know, it was all about, you know, everybody knew about the air pollution in
right.
L.A.
Right.
And all those legendary pictures and movies of the smog and all that. But now we're at a whole different level. And this is something I'd like you to touch on, because now there's a lot more toxins in the air and metals and things like that. So when you were talking about the liver...
Right,
the liver is having to work harder now.
That's absolutely true. And you know, when I was doing my doctorate program in 2014 to 2016, I went back to school to do that. And one of the classes is basically grade of medicine. It was including Chinese medicine and having to do with healthy aging. So one of the classes we took had to do with basically environmental pollution and toxins. And I thought I knew quite a bit on the subject, and I did. But boy, by the time I was done with that, frankly, it was a bit depressing, and I'm not a person that gets depressed very easily. I mean, there are so many new chemicals every year mm-hmm. that are just flooding into the market, most of which really haven't been properly tested. And we're, you know, our systems are having to do the best they can to process that. And basically, our liver's not quite keeping up with the job. And people are not always realizing it, because maybe they feel pretty good for the most part. They can't really tell that much of a difference. But as the years go on, and depending on how sensitive they are, they may wake up one day and realize it's like, wow, I just don't have the energy I used to. Mm-hmm. certain things bother me now. By 4 o'clock, I'm kind of pooped out. Just different signs and symptoms like that that can, or if they drink alcohol, and let's say they're a very moderate kind of drinker, maybe they have a glass of wine, two or three times a week, something like that. Even a person that has one glass of wine, many times they've come to me and said, "Hey, I think something's up, because even with one glass of wine, it's like I just don't feel well the next day." And they're not talking about feeling hungover.
Right, right.
It's an indication to me that the liver's ability to detoxify effectively is greatly diminished.
Well, when I do energy work on people, there's times that I've had to communicate to them that I could sense the energy at the liver, that alcohol wasn't good for them, and I've actually had to explain it. It's not as if you're getting drunk. I said, it's like poison for you. Mm. And there are some people that have sensitivities where it's just not a good idea to put alcohol into their systems.
Right, even in any kind of quantity. And a right. lot of times, let's say that person's, 45 now. When they were in their 20s or 30s, that wasn't an issue. It's like, they could have two glasses of wine, no big deal, felt fine the next day. Fast forward, to age 45, one glass of wine, just they feel not well the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing I wanted to mention about the liver that not everyone thinks about, but I certainly learned this in Chinese medicine from the very start, is that the liver is associated with the most emotions. So on the positive side, there's creative expression is good for the liver, but frustration, resentment, anger, irritability, depression, all of that affects the liver and actually can stagnate the liver qi, and that in turn can cause tension in the muscles, tension in the abdominal area, start to affect digestion. So we have that component, just the day-to-day stresses that are going on in people's lives and how well they process that or not so well, depending,
sure.
plus the environmental toxins.
And the liver is known as the seat of anger.
Exactly.
Yeah, emotionally. I believe I read today, as we're talking about toxins going into the body, and I can actually go on my phone and check this, I believe I read that the FDA is outlawing vaping.
Mm, yeah. And I'm not surprised. And, it's a topic I've been following somewhat on the news. And I could tell even, I guess it was a year and a half ago, I started hearing more about vaping and all the different flavors and stuff. And I thought,
exactly.
wow, the chemicals that they're adding, and look, I'm not saying I'm an expert on vaping, but the additional chemicals, synthetic chemicals that they're adding, so it's like pina colada flavor or some
exactly.
nonsense like that, they have no idea what kind of effect that has on the lungs, and to draw it directly into your lungs, not to mention, what else, whether it's tobacco or cannabis.
Sure.
So I really don't think that that's a good idea.
Well, no, and it was presented originally that it was okay because it wasn't actual cigarette smoke.
Right, right.
But now we're finding, there's what do they call it, popcorn lung and things that are occurring.
Something to avoid for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So the other thing is, and Michael is a nutritional advisor too.
Yes.
Which is, you're not just fixing what's going on with people.
Right, right.
You're also telling them with great information about what to eat. And I know you're a huge proponent of organic, non-GMO, and
that's correct. And I just want to say a little bit about that. I've been organic, eating organic food consistently for so long I kind of forget, frankly. Before it was called organic, I would suppose. So when I met my wife, for instance, which was over 26 years ago, we both already been eating organic food for a number of years, just as a for instance. Now, the reason that it's important is, all those years ago, I had a feeling that there were the nutritional profile of those foods would be higher than a commercially, grown spinach or whatever, or apple. Later, they found out that that was, in fact, true. But there's a whole other aspect to it. And so what I want to talk about just for a moment is gluten, which, you know, there's a bit of a buzz these days about being gluten-free and don't eat wheat and all of that. And the gluten in wheat, for instance, that our parents ate and our grandparents was, you know, 1/10 the amount of gluten that we have in commercially raised wheat and gluten products these days. So that's a big deal right there.
So what exactly is it?
Well, here's the thing, is that with gluten, it affects the gut microbiome. That's one thing I want to talk about. And there's something called, it's actually kind of a slang term called leaky gut. Many people have heard of it. It's really called dysbiosis if you talk to a gastroenterologist or if we're talking to a medical professional. But really what that means is the way that the gut lining, which is supposed to open to, it opens up, there's these small little cells that open up to let nutrients through into the bloodstream when we break down our food efficiently, all right? And then it closes up again. If a person eats gluten on a regular basis, let's say they eat wheat, they just go to the local restaurant and they have a habit of eating out, and you know they think they're eating healthy because they're getting the pasta and maybe a salad and chicken, but it's all conventionally raised. Let's just say that, and instead of burger and fries and sugary desserts, well, we could say it's healthier. But there's more to it than that, because with gluten products, let's say they order pasta or they have the rolls, because the rolls are really good at this particular restaurant, there's glyphosate, which is, an ingredient in a particular pesticide. Those glyphosates, they've been shown to be that they may be carcinogenic. It really looks like more than just may. And then also it affects the gut microbiome, and it contributes to dysbiosis or leaky gut. So more inflammation at the gut lining, which causes problems in how we absorb our food, starts to change the pH in the gut, and then it also affects how the liver detoxifies and actually starts to, in a way, gum up the works in the liver. There's two pathways of detoxification in the liver, and that second pathway, called the P450 pathway, starts to malfunction due to glyphosate. And it's not like you eat one meal or two and it just all unravels. But as the months go on and years go on, when a person eats this way, it starts to affect the liver. And as we mentioned, just from the environmental toxins, we don't need additional stressors on the liver.
So how has wheat evolved or de-evolved? So what is gluten exactly? Yeah.
So it is a type of protein that it's complex, because there are over 100 different metabolic breakdown products in gluten, all right? And in my office, I do a lab test for 20 of those breakdown products. And what we found is that it can affect the immune system, certain ones that contribute to autoimmune type of conditions. So we're able to really track it down and see that, in fact, it causes problems, and bigger problems for some people than others. But, it's just a complex type of protein that we really can't so efficiently deal with. If you ate organically, whole wheat that was organically raised, and let's say you didn't have it every day, and as far as you can tell, people in your family, no one has a gluten sensitivity, and you're young and you're healthy, you could probably get away with it if you're not eating it anyway. So the body has, every day rather, the body has an amazing ability to repair itself. So some inflammation, as long as you're not eating it the next day, it starts to repair and everything's okay. But for that person, you could fast forward 5-7 years later, higher stress in their life, this and that going on. They may reach a point where their body's ability to repair that starts to break down. This can, in fact, start to contribute to other food allergies.
Sure. So well, there and those of us that are a certain age, that were raised out of when television was really taking off, everything was about commercials, and Madison Avenue did a very good job of selling, and it was this famous brand of cornflakes and this
Wonder Bread and
yes,
eat your Wheaties. I grew up, you know, I grew up eating Wheaties, and my dad was so he felt really good about, you know, here's the box of Wheaties, and you know he was my dad. God bless him, was and God rest his soul. Anyway, he was quite athletic, and he liked the fact that, you know, on the front of the Wheaties box there was Ted. I think his name was Ted Evans, or I'm not even sure now.
Baseball player?
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams,
okay,
yeah.
Ted Williams. And so, you know, they always had some professional football player, baseball player on the cover. And it was later, it was many years later, that I don't know, it came out in Time or Newsweek or something, and they realized that Wheaties weren't as healthy as they thought. And he was really mad when he found that. I'm not buying Wheaties anymore. So I was actually gluten sensitive, and I'm eating Wheaties every day. And, you know, they're thinking that they're doing right by me. So it was a lot of years later I found out that I felt a lot better being gluten free. And by the way, it's a good segue between there's something that most of us have heard of called the gut brain connection. And boy, was I getting schooled in that, because as it turned out, in my case, when I ate gluten, it affected how I think, even how I speak, my ability to like listen to instruction in school and run with it. All of that was being affected by
sure. And when we gluten. When you talk about energy, and, yes. and of course like third chakra energy, because the chakras are energy centers.
Yes.
You know, when I'm diagnosing the chakras, you know, if the gut itself, if the stomach system is sluggish, you know, things are not moving the way they should, then that backs up completely into the conscious mind, where the brain is foggy. People don't think clearly. The decision-making process is hampered. It goes hand in hand. And again, you know, if we're talking metaphysically about chakras, you know, each of the seven main chakras are connected to the body via one of the glands in the endocrine system. So in this case, it's the pancreas.
Yes.
That's part of this. So we have to, in one way or the other, whether it's the kind of energy work that I do, get that to stir up, get that mechanism to start moving, or in your case, you do acupuncture. And by the way, Michael has worked on me a lot. He's very good at what he does. And we can talk a little bit, you know, that when you put the needle in, and you're very good about how you do that. But if the patient goes, ow, that means something. We'll talk about that. Michael also uses these little magnets, which are magnificent, pun intended. And then also Michael does cupping too. So when we have these gut problems,
right.
Okay, and we've been eating Wheaties and Cheerios and every famous kind of regular wheat pasta and Wonder Bread, and with no disrespect to those commercial brands, by the way, we have to fix this.
Right. So the good news is that, and you know, when I'm when patients are seeing me, and let's say I do a diagnosis with them, and I can tell that we need to work on their liver and spleen and stomach and the intestines and all of that. It's like, how do I figure that out? I mean, part of it is I check the pulse. I look at their tongue. The tongue actually reflects what's going on internally. So I can see really in a matter of seconds in good light if there's leaky gut. But there's also reflex points on the body that I can press in very specific areas that are indicate, you know, the need for work and improving function and so forth. So sometimes I'm doing cupping over on the back that goes to certain organs like the liver, spleen, stomach, the intestines. And when I do cupping, and I actually brought a cupping set so we can demonstrate a little bit. Let's see here. Might need your arm to
to a couple weeks ago, I looked like I had been attacked by an octopus.
So I brought my traveling cupping set here. I'm just going to do it on your forearms here. This is for our friends who are on Facebook Live. All right, so just keep keep it kind of still. So you can see this is a little mechanical device that is used to help put a cup in place. And cupping has been around for thousands of years. And basically, I'm going to go ahead and take this off.
That's fine.
There's many uses for it. If you're looking closely, you could see it was looked a little bit red, almost like a light sunburn initially. But basically, that moves stagnant chi or energy from the tissues, or in the case of working on the spleen, stomach, liver, and so forth, it actually pulls some of the stagnation out and around that organ, brings it to the surface, and at the same time, with that cellular debris and acid waste, comes closer to the surface to be cleared by the circulation, and then fresh blood comes into that organ or into the tight muscles and helps it to reset. So that combined with acupuncture is really a great way to go. And as Nick mentioned, sometimes I'm not even using needles. I'm using magnets that are super strong magnets that are placed on points on the hand. So I can do a full treatment that supports the liver and, let's say, the spleen and stomach just on the hands. That allows me the options to work on a patient face down or have them turn over, work on their, even laying on their side, if I'm
and by
working
the way,
on their neck or back. Yeah.
Those magnets are not the typical Scotty dog magnets. One time Michael had me use them for a few hours and I was taking off myself. And these things are like out of a cartoon. If you have them near each other or something metallic, they go like the speed of light.
They're so strong. So I'm just going to demonstrate. Hopefully you can see this on Facebook Live. A little bit of tape with this super strong magnet here. It's a 12,000 Gauss magnet. And there's a point that is right here that's known as stomach 36. So that's a point on the body, but there's a system called Korean hand therapy. So I'm pointing to the point right here. So we're treating stomach 36. And because of the polarity of the magnet, I'm doing a tonification treatment. And what that means is I'm bringing energy into the stomach to support the function of it and basically improve how it regulates, how it does the job that we want it to do. And then from a food standpoint, I typically give my patients a list of foods, and they're not real unusual foods, but a list of foods that through research are shown to support the gut microbiome, and then certain probiotic foods, and some of these we've certainly heard of, but probiotic foods, if we go get a variety of different ones, kimchi, for instance, is one, sauerkraut is another, miso, and there's others besides that. But by having a variety of those, that can, in fact, even be better than probiotics. Probiotics are great if a person's traveling or if they, for some people, they're not into kimchi or miso soup or things like that. But ideally, I like to do as much as possible from foods. And one thing, Nick, is that sometimes a person comes to me and they're really, their diet needs a lot of changes.
Sure.
But the good news, if they're willing to make some changes, and I don't expect all of it like in a week's time, but to the extent that they're willing to adopt some changes day by day, the gut's ability to heal is really quite impressive. So even in 3 days' time of, stopping commercially raised foods and starting to go organic and making changes can actually affect the immune system, start to reduce bloating, gas, something people don't like to talk about, but that is one of the signs that there's dysbiosis or leaky gut and just discomfort after one eats. Also, after they eat, if after you eat you notice that your energy drops, like you feel kind of tired or like you could take a nap, that's a sign that your spleen chi is low. Or if you feel about the same, your energy doesn't come up, you need some support as far as spleen chi. Another way that I support that is with some specific herbs. I only use professional-grade herbs, and there are certain combinations that can boost spleen chi, meaning, over time, it doesn't happen in a week, but over time, it actually improves the function of our body's ability to absorb the nutrients from the food that we eat. And sometimes they use enzymes as well.
Sure. Yeah. Michael, when it comes to acupuncture, there's a lot of people who are, because of going to the doctor, okay,
yes,
they're afraid of needles.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So what do you do with someone that has never been to you and never been to an acupuncturist, and
right,
they just have that fear?
Right.
And those needles are nothing like,
yeah,
a hypodermic.
Well, it's an excellent question. And, you know, as you know, Nick, I treat young kids all the way to, you know, into adults and seniors. And I can tell you that over my years of experience, it's more adults than young children that tend to be fearful of the needles. But that said, for one thing, I just think it's better not to be pushy about even trying to do acupuncture. Some people are kind of freaked out about it. So I let them know, for instance, look, we don't even need to use needles in the first treatment. I get great results with the magnets. You can do a full treatment with that. I also treat points on the ear without needles. So I have special equipment that can sense active points that need to be treated and then treat it with microcurrent. And then I have some other little handheld devices that put a pulse into an acupuncture point without needles. So, you know, there's so many different ways to treat it, as well as cupping, for that matter, and acupressure. So I don't let that stop me. And then if they're willing to even try one needle, what I will tell them, if they're kind of fearful about the whole thing, is that we can start with one needle, try it. You know, if you don't like it, you let me know and I'll pull it out. And so oftentimes we'll literally do one needle in the first visit if
sure,
they're skittish about it. More often than not, they're surprised that the needle's even in when I, yeah, tap it in, and I tell them, okay, you've had acupuncture, and they look at me like, it's in? You know, they...
Mm-hmm.
So,
and anyway, I've had that experience,
yeah,
too.
So some points you feel, and others you hardly feel them at all, but acupuncture tends to be anticlimactic compared to having, you know, a blood draw or having a shot, which I don't care for either of those,
right,
actually.
So one of the questions, yeah, I get when people come to me for hypnotherapy, mm, when they present an issue, is, well, how many sessions is it going to take?
Right.
And you can't really answer that because every case is so individualized. There,
right,
is sort of a barometer.
Right.
But somebody comes to you with some kind of gut situation,
right,
going on.
Right. So it's an excellent question, and there really is a range. You know, sometimes a person comes to me, and I can tell that they need a lot of work. In other words, I'm thinking of one person right now who travels a lot. You know, a young person, early 30s, travels a lot, has noticed that when she travels, getting sick quite often. So she didn't link it to her gut necessarily, but sore throats, lymph nodes swollen, all of that. I checked those reflex points like I was talking about earlier. So there's a point right here. This is for inflammation and the immune system. So that point was hot or sensitive on both sides for her. And the next place I went was to check the liver and then the gut points around the abdomen. And the point for the gut, which is essentially shows leaky gut, and her tongue showed the same, that one was the hottest point of the entire day. So what I told her is that, look, this is going to take some time, and, you know, stick with me. But what I said is, we're probably going to see some positive changes over 6 weeks period of time. Frankly, I'm thinking more like 3 weeks, but I need to see, is she serious about making some changes as far as foods?
Sure.
You know, so to the extent that, like, if a patient is a good student in a way, you know, and a good patient, in other words, if they're not really exercising, they're willing to start. If they haven't been, you know, if there's room to improve as far as their food, and they really in earnest start to make those changes, then, gosh, we could see, you know, frankly, we could see some results 2 weeks out. That's
sure,
possible. But more like 6 weeks, and then even 3 months out, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're seeing me every week
sure.
as things stretch out. So as they get healthier and stronger, you know. So, and then, look, if they come and see me because their ankles, you know, they sprain their ankle, I might see them for 2 weeks' time, twice a week, and give certain topical herbs and this and that, and we may be done. You know, that could be sure. four treatments. So the range can vary quite a bit.
Well, yeah. And the thing is with your work and my work, that clients have to do the work. You know, they can't come to you or me and get treatments, and then they're back out there doing all the things that are counterproductive.
It's true, and that's one of the things I love about this kind of medicine is that it's, you know, it's not like the patient can, we can get them well in spite of themselves. So I once heard it described as like we're going on a trip. If, you know, if I'm treating you and you're my patient, for instance, and we decide to go, you know, to San Francisco, you know, it's like you're driving and I'm riding shotgun. And maybe I know the way a little bit better and I'm saying, let's turn right here.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing the driving, you know, it's your car and I'm doing some guiding, some directing, and seeing how this is going in that. And even, I'll just say this, with food therapy, which is something I'd say I kind of geek out on. I've been interested in that for a great long time. So as much as I know about it, still, I can't say when I meet a person for the first time that I know without a doubt all the foods that are going to be ideal for them.
Sure.
You know, I have a pretty good idea, but frankly, we also need to see how they feel with it. And I've got to keep things a little bit loose around the edges and, you know, be willing to adjust and adapt a little bit based on what we see.
Sure.
You know,
there's a client that you and I share, and food is so much, and you have to know your body. Like for instance, if you are a more sensitive kind of person, you know, and use the car analogy, and I like that one too. You know, if your system is a high performance system, are you an athlete? You know, what do you do? What I say is you can't put 87 octane in a high performance car. You have to put better fuel in the car. And so recently I was dealing with this particular client and contacted me and felt like this and was emotionally all upset and having all these like weird experiences. Well, I'm very paranormal, I'm very metaphysical, but I'm also educated in mental health and how the body is affected and how the body affects mental health. So long story short, I started asking all the right questions. Okay, when are you having these highs and lows? And, you know, what have you been eating? Oh, garbage. Trust me, it was garbage. And then I had to, you know, explain when you eat like that, these are the effects that you have. And then I sent this individual to Michael and followed up with that client. And fortunately, you basically gave the same information I did just from your realm of how you work.
Right.
And I saw that person recently and a lot of smiles and bright and energized. So, you know, you can't put garbage into your system all the time, especially if you're a high-performance car.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
It's absolutely true. And the other thing that I think when a patient comes to see me and, you know, digestion is one of the things they're looking to improve or improve their energy or immune system, a lot of times it also ties together anyway. But oftentimes they need somebody to coach them along and mm-hmm. essentially help, you know, when they come to see me, it's like they're asking me to help hold them accountable. And I tend to work on people who are ready to make some changes. So it's like, in a way, they're giving me license to do that, you know. And so I'm going to give them some homework. It's not going to be overwhelming, but, you know, week by week and bit by bit, as they become consistent, huge changes can happen. Their
Absolutely.
Energy starts to stabilize. This is about energy. And, you know, you eat a certain way, your blood sugar starts to stabilize, you have more chi or more energy, because where does chi come from? two primary areas. The food that you eat, if you're able to absorb it effectively, if all of that is working well, that's a major area right there. And then when you exercise, the air that you breathe in, we actually extract chi from the air. And those are the primary ways. And then I would also say we get energy from spirit, which is a little more metaphysical, but I believe that to be true. So
we do.
Those are the ways that it comes in. Yeah.
Michael, as time is starting to move on here, tell everyone if they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that, please?
Right. So, you know, as you mentioned, I'm at the Newmont Center on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and also in Malibu on the other days of the week, basically. And so my website is radianthealthmalibu.com, and then also my email is radianthealthmalibu@gmail.com. And my phone number for appointments is 310-589-0828. And I just want to also say, once again, thanks to Nick, and not just for having me on the show, but I must say I was fortunate back in February with all that had taken place in Malibu, living and working right smack in the area where all the homes burnt, to be able to have a place to start seeing patients was a blessing, and I really enjoyed working with you and Audrey and the other folks at the Newmont Center.
Thank you.
It's a good place to be.
Well, we love having you there.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and we'll have you back again because there's other things that you can talk about. At the Newmont Center, coming up on the weekend of November 30th, December 1st, on the 30th, I'll be teaching a class on intentional healing, which you've actually taken that class.
I have taken it. Yeah.
And learn how to make these devices, which we call chakra plates, and how to intend these pre-made devices that are glued, and they go right on the body. And this just happens to be a third chakra plate. And then, and this is the other reason I want my lovely wife to come on, many reasons, on Sunday, December the 1st, Audrey teaches a class on crystal art. And what she does on canvases with a little bit of paint and a lot of crystals is just phenomenal. And some of those pictures are up on the Newmont Center website. So if you're interested in those classes, either one, you can get in touch with me at 818-865-8770, or you can go to my Facebook page, the Newmont Center Facebook page. Michael, you have a Facebook page too, Michael J. McGuire. So there's a lot of ways to find us. And again, the Newmont Center is in Agoura Hills, California, not that far away. And reach out to me if you're interested in, you know, what's going on the show. You know, friend me. And again, I want to say before we close, thank you to the lovely Sheena Metal for having me on her shows. She was on mine last week, and she and I are going to do a lot of fun things together. And as Sheena said earlier on her show, on December the 8th, Sunday, December 8th, it's a day with the psychics with Sheena, myself, Jillian Kane, Wendy Cashafi. It's a lot of fun, and yes, we do have yummy food, right?
Indeed.
Yes, we do partake. This is Mainstream Metaphysics on LA Talk Radio, and I also want to say thank you to the folks here at LA Talk Radio for giving me a show. This has been so much fun, and as time goes on, there will be a lot more that I present in terms of my abilities. People have written to me. We want to see more of how you do what you do, and that will happen. So anyway, once again, I'm Nick Newmont. We will see you see me and hear me next Tuesday night on LA Talk Radio. Michael, thanks again, and I'll see you in the office.
All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on on LA Talk Radio.